Last week I started a new series on the Gospel of Luke entitled Jesus is for Everyone. And I hadn't expected to preach today. So yesterday I had to, when I found out that Paul had got COVID, that I had to quickly put together the next sermon in this series. So I think I finished at about 11:30 last night, but never mind. So my title this morning is Jesus Sent by God for Everyone. So it's based on Luke chapter 2 and Luke chapter 3. Because in his gospel, Luke is not only emphasizing that Jesus is for everyone, he's also emphasizing who Jesus is. Jesus is not just an extra special man. He's not just a very gifted human genius. He's not just a man who can do extraordinary miracles. Luke tells us that Jesus is sent directly from God, that he is the Son of God, that he was sent to rescue and save everyone, all people. As Luke tells the story of Jesus' childhood and early adulthood, Luke tells us these stories. In chapter 2, verse 40, he says, "The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the Lord's favor was on him." In chapter 2, verses 41 to 50, in the story of Joseph and Mary searching for the boy that Anita read to us and finding him in the temple, we're told that all who heard Jesus speaking were amazed at his understanding and knowledge. And when his parents rebuked Jesus, he said, "Did you not know I must be in my Father's house?" So even as a young boy, around 12 years old, Jesus knew that he was not just a young man. He was and is the Son of God. And then in verse 52, Luke tells us Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature, in favor with God and man. The favor of his Father God was upon him. And then later on, when Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist in Luke 3:22, we hear these words that the heavens were opened. The Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in the bodily form of a dove, and a voice from heaven is heard saying, "This is my beloved Son. With you," or "with him, I am well pleased." And Luke here is telling us that there is clear evidence that Jesus was not just a man. There's clear evidence that Jesus is the Son of God. That God's special favor, that God's special blessing, that God's special empowerment is upon Jesus. Jesus has been sent by God. He is the Son of God. He is the Christ Messiah prophesied for centuries before. Luke wasn't making this up. He's recounting the evidence of the events and circumstances of Jesus' early life. It's been witnessed by others proving that Jesus was sent by God, that he is the Son of God. And you know, that is relevant to every person here, every person who's watching a live stream. In fact, it's relevant to every single person who's living on earth today. Every person who is alive today. Because if Jesus was sent from heaven by God, if Jesus was the Son of God, as Luke tells us, there is evidence to show it, he has to be the most important person who has ever lived on earth in the whole of human history. Jesus' words, Jesus' life, Jesus' teaching have to be the most important words and teaching that have ever been heard in the whole of human history, because they come not from man, they come from God himself. And you know, we cannot afford to ignore the word of God. We cannot afford to ignore the words of Jesus. We cannot afford to say that they are just good moral teachings. We cannot afford to say it's not relevant, that Jesus is not relevant to me today. Because Jesus was speaking words directly from God. And if Jesus really was sent from heaven, If he really was the Son of God, we cannot pass off his death as another sad human tragedy of injustice and oppression. This was the Son of God dying on the cross to pay the price and the punishment for our sin. Dying on the cross to save and rescue you and me from our sin. If Jesus really was sent from God, if Jesus really was the Son of God, we cannot ignore his resurrection. It means that Jesus has won the victory over sin and death and hell. He has won the victory over your sin, your death, and your hell, the hell that you deserved. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who died and rose again, praise God. You see, it doesn't matter what you think about me. You know, when you go home, you might sort of discuss what I've said. It doesn't matter what you think about me. It doesn't matter what you think about the church. You might think, well, that's a bit of a rubbish church. Or you might think it's a great church. It doesn't matter what you think about other Christians who might have let you down, other Christians who might have disappointed you. Maybe the church has let you down. It doesn't actually matter what you think about those things. It doesn't matter what you think about philosophy, about Buddha or Muhammad or Rama or anyone else. The only thing that matters is what do you think about Jesus? What do you think about Jesus? How will you respond to Jesus? Because Jesus was sent from God. Jesus is the Son of God. And that's what Luke is saying in these verses. How will you respond to Jesus? Because he is the only one sent from God. He is the one and only Son of God. He is the only one who can rescue and save you from your guilt and sin. He is the only one who can save and rescue you from the terrible judgment day and hell itself. He is the only one who can make you a child of God so that you can enjoy eternity with God in a paradise we call heaven. How will you respond to Jesus? Will you repent of your sin and believe in Jesus? Will you follow and obey Jesus for the rest of your life? Or will you reject him? The second thing in these chapters that tells us is that Jesus was sent by God for all sinners. For all sinners. John, in Luke 3, verse 8, John the Baptist, quoting the prophetic words of Isaiah, says, "All flesh, all people," that means, "will see the salvation of God." Not just the Jews, not just nice, good, holy, religious people. All people. That means the good, the bad, the ugly. It means that no one is beyond being saved and rescued by Jesus. Romans 3:23 says, everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. However good, however religious you might feel, because I went to church this morning, you know, I'm polishing my medals, you know, God must think a little bit better of me because I went to church this morning. That's rubbish. We're all sinners. Doesn't matter how good, how righteous, how religious we might be, we're still sinners. But also it doesn't matter how bad and evil we may be, because we're not beyond being saved by Jesus, praise God. John the Baptist, paving the way for Jesus, urges all types of people to flee from the wrath of God's judgment and respond to God by repenting of their sin and being baptized in water for the forgiveness of sin. And he calls the self-righteous religious leaders, what does he call them? He's pretty bold, isn't he? He's pretty rude. He calls them a brood of vipers. "You snakes," he says. I mean, that wasn't, you know, he wasn't going for the popularity stakes, was he? You know, the religious people, the holy people, the people who were looked up to, he says, "You're a brood of vipers. You're snakes." Because they don't think they need to repent and be baptized. But he welcomes even the worst of sinners, praise God. In chapter 3, verses 12 to 14, John baptizes repentant tax collectors and soldiers. Why do you think Luke tells us about tax collectors and soldiers getting baptized? He tells us about that because they were among the most hated and the most despised sinners in society of that time. Tax collectors. Tax collectors were traitors. They worked for the Roman Gentile oppressors. They were unclean. They were con merchants. They were money launderers in today's terms. They extorted money from the poor by force. They were violent. They were the ones in those days who were wearing the knuckle dusters. They would have had a knife or a gun if it was today. No, they would have been dangerous individuals. And Luke says, Jesus baptized tax collectors, even tax collectors, people like that. And then the soldiers, he says in verse 14. Well, the soldiers here would have been Herod's soldiers, his personal bodyguards. They were ruthless, they were violent, they were unjust, they were evil, they were powerful, they were vicious liars who would beat up and kill people without mercy. They were the ones who would later beat up Jesus himself. Herod's soldiers. And Luke is telling us the very worst sinners were repenting of their sin and being baptized into the forgiveness of their sins as a preparation for the ministry of Jesus. And the message is Jesus was coming from God to save and rescue the worst of sinners. You know, that is wonderful news for me and for you. It's wonderful, wonderful news for you and me. See, we don't have to be religious. It's wonderful news for you and me. If the worst of sinners can be saved and rescued and forgiven by Jesus, you and I can be saved. Praise God. We can be rescued. We can be forgiven. If we will repent of our sin, believe in Jesus and be baptized for the forgiveness of our sin. You and I may not be as big a sinner as those tax collectors or soldiers, but we're still big sinners, folks. Let's not con ourselves. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We sin in what we think about, in what we say, and what we do. And in other ways too. We are sinners. We deserve nothing. We deserve the judgment of God. We deserve to be condemned to hell. But praise God, if we repent of our sin, if we believe in Jesus Christ, if we're baptized into his forgiveness, we can be forgiven. We can be baptized by the Holy Spirit. We can be born again. We can share Jesus' resurrection victory over sin and death and hell and spend eternity with Jesus in paradise. Praise the Lord. That's why we worship Jesus. That's why we praise Jesus for what he has done. We deserve judgment of hell, but he, through his death on the cross, has saved and rescued us so that we can have that expectation of being with him, sharing his resurrection victory in paradise itself. So Jesus was sent by God for all sinners. And I just love Jesus' nickname here on earth. He was taunted with this saying, Jesus, friend of sinners. Jesus, friend of sinners. That means he can be your friend today. It means he can be my friend today. Jesus, friend of sinners. And then thirdly and finally, Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. Chapter 3, 15 to 17. John the Baptist says in these verses 16 and 17 of chapter 3, I baptize you with water, But he who is mightier than I is coming. That's Jesus. The strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor, to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. What is John saying about Jesus here? What John the Baptist is saying is it matters how you respond to God. It matters how you respond to God sending his one and only Son, Jesus. If you repent of your sin, if you believe in Jesus, if you're baptized for the forgiveness of your sin, when Jesus comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He doesn't say Jesus might baptize you with the Holy Spirit if you're really spiritual or if you're really good and live a holy life. He says he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He will. What does that mean, to baptize you with the Holy Spirit? It means to immerse you in the Holy Spirit, to fill you with the Holy Spirit. You will have the Holy Spirit living within you. What does it mean to be baptized by the Holy Spirit? To have the Holy Spirit living within us. You know, you cannot be a true Christian without the Holy Spirit. You cannot be. Because we are born again by the Spirit. It's God's Spirit that makes us born again. It's the Holy Spirit who empowers you to live the Christian life. It is the fruit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit that enable you to become Christ-like and to serve God in the power of the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit in you that is the seal, God's seal in you, on you, guaranteeing you eternal life. It is through the Holy Spirit that you will share in Jesus' resurrection victory over sin and death and hell. And God promises that everyone, even you and me, even the worst of sinners who repent of their sin, who believe in him and are baptized for the forgiveness of their sin, will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Praise God. If you are a Christian, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is living within you. You are a brand new person. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me and it lives in you, praise God. You can go out of this church. If you're a true Christian, if you've repented of your sin and believed in Jesus, you can go out of this church rejoicing because the Holy Spirit lives in you. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you as you go out to face this coming week. But John here, John the Baptist, is speaking to a mixed audience that includes some of those religious vipers, snakes, those self-righteous people who don't think they need to repent. There have been people in the crowd who thought that John was just a madman. People who were laughing and mocking John. People who didn't believe John was speaking the truth. People who just had gone along to see the show, see John baptizing people in the Jordan. People who were just out for a good day with the kids, What are we going to do this Saturday? Well, let's go out into the wilderness and see this madman, John, baptizing all these people. Come on, kids, it'll be a good show. Something different going on. They didn't have telly in those days. You can go to the theatre and cinema. The best thing, go and see a man dressed in camel's hair, eats locusts and wild honey and is baptizing people and saying wild things in the desert. And John is warning people like that. He's warning those people who do not repent, who refuse to believe, who reject Jesus, who are not baptized with the forgiveness of sin, that Jesus will baptize them with the fire of God's judgment. They will be immersed eternally in the fire of God's judgment. That is the message here that John is preaching. Jesus will baptize them with the fire of God's judgments. Now, I know most of you who are Pentecostals will have been taught that being baptized by fire is something positive.
the fire of the Lord upon you, and all the rest of it.
But the context here in these verses is clearly judgment. What does the next verse say? He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, talking about Jesus, to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. This is the final day of judgment. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Don't miss a severe warning here. Jesus was sent by God to save and rescue everyone. All types of people, all races, all ages of people, even the worst of sinners. But if we refuse to repent, if we reject Jesus, if we continue in our sin, if we follow other gods, if we are okay without God in our lives, we will be baptized in the fire of God's judgment. On the judgment day, when God gathers the wheat into his barn, it's the picture of the judgment day. The chaff, that which is not wheat, will burn with unquenchable fire. And that's why Jesus warns people when he starts his ministry to flee the wrath that is to come. It's why Jesus urges people at the very beginning of his ministry in Matthew 4, verse 17, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. The judgment day is coming. Repent now. That's why Jesus says to Nicodemus, the religious man, the upright man, you must be born again. It's the whole message. So in summary, Jesus was sent by God for everyone, praise God. Jesus was sent by God for all sinners, the worst of sinners, including you and including me. But it's vitally important how we respond to Jesus. If we repent, if we believe, if we're baptized, we will be baptized by the Holy Spirit. But if we reject, if we ignore, if we go our own way, if we follow other gods, if we reject Jesus, we will be baptized by fire into judgment. May each one member of our family, may our neighbors, our friends, our workmates and colleagues, may each of us repent of our sin, believe in Jesus Christ, be baptized for the forgiveness of sin, and be baptized with the Holy Spirit into eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That should be our prayer. Let's pray together. And as we pray, I'm just going to ask Leslie and the worship team just to come up to lead us in our final song. Father God, Lord, I thank you that Jesus was sent by God. Lord, he wasn't just a special man. He wasn't just an extraordinary man. Lord, as we're praying, we're not praying to a man like ourselves. Lord, we're praying to the Son of God, sent from heaven to rescue and save his people from their sins. Lord, may each of us respond to the message of Jesus. Lord, may each one of us respond to Jesus himself. Lord, I pray that, Lord, we would repent of our sin. And Lord, as we pray that, Lord, we're not only praying for ourselves, Lord, who might already be Christians, but Lord, for those, Lord, of our loved ones, Lord, those, Lord, of our neighbors and our friends, Lord, who do not know you. Lord, I pray that each one would repent of their sin, Lord, that would believe in Jesus and be baptized for the forgiveness of their sin and be baptized with the Holy Spirit into eternal life with Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, we pray it in the name of Jesus. And everyone says, Amen. Amen. Amen.